All right, folks, and welcome to episode 33 of the Porchcast. We're coming to you from Small Batch Liquors today, and we're really excited. I'm personally very excited to welcome two wonderful guests today to this show. We've got Phil Joyce from Powder Keg Brewing, and we're also going to be talking about his upcoming project, Amalgam. We've also got Joe Tumbarello, owner of Small Batch Liquors. And once again, I'm joined by Jesse Brookstein.
Howdy, folks.
Unfortunately, Hunter Grondin...
Yeah, it's a shame.
...is not able to join us for this episode.
It's a real shame. Hi, Hunter.
Duty called.
Duty called.
Duty did call.
He's at El Camino.
No, in all seriousness, Hunter is actually doing his job, which I'm actually should be doing that too. But yeah. I'll be joining him shortly. Yep. But regardless, we've got a very exciting episode. And the reason I say that is because the two people that are joining us today... some of the best people in the industry, and also some of my personal favorite people.
Yeah, Phil's a really good guy.
Yeah.
Who's Phil?
Yeah.
You should. Phil's a great guy.
For those who aren't as familiar with the history of porch drinking, this is probably going to be a trip down memory lane for those who are familiar, but Phil actually was with porch drinking initially. He was our homebrew editor for quite some time, and he moved on and started his project with Powder Keg, and now is kind of continuously evolving, and we're really stoked for him. Phil, I remember the days of coming to your house and trying your homebrews, and look how far you've come.
Phil was one of the only two homebrews I can name off the top of my head as beers I really enjoyed trying.
For those who aren't familiar with Powder Keg, they're based out of Niwot, brewing some of the best beer in Colorado, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you ever have a chance to make it out here, driving out to Boulder, Longmont, you know, make a stop to Powder Keg, because Phil is developing some really tremendous stuff. Got a great sour and wild program going, and, you know, he's starting to debut some really cool stuff in terms of his Vietnamese porter and also Telegraph, which is coming out soon. We'll get to that in just a moment. But before we do, we want to be sure to give a shout-out to some of our sponsors. First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. Located at 1309 26th Street. It is a pour-your-own draft system. For those who aren't familiar, basically you go up there, you can pour as much or as little beer as you'd like. You're given a glass when you walk in, and you can try from any of their 40 beers that are on tap. Currently it's sour month, which means they've got a host of sour beers that you can go through and try and sample. You can get a little sample of something, or you can go for a full pour. And then also coming up March 19th, they've got their IPA homebrew competition, where the winner of the competition will get to brew a beer with four noses. Also, that beer will eventually be on tap with four noses. So they've got several different categories: West Coast style, New England style, double, and imperial, and other, which includes black, red, white IPAs. Be sure to try. If you're a homebrewer like Phil once was, go in and try out your luck with the IPA homebrew competition at First Draft Taproom and Kitchen.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, Joe, I want to welcome you onto the show as well.
Thank you.
Small Batch, for those who aren't familiar, is a tremendous bottle shop located here on Tennyson Street. Tennyson, I like to say, is where all of my money goes, and I'm really glad. I'm currently house searching right now, and I'm trying to stay clear of this area because I would go broke immediately.
Absolutely.
You don't pay a call to arms. You shouldn't.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you don't want to advertise that to all of our listeners.
Our
listeners will have to pay.
The people in this company.
But I mean, seriously, you look at the street alone, you have Hops and Pie, tremendous beers, yeah. Also one of our sponsors. Their pizzas are out of this world. They make these crazy sandwich combinations that are just delicious.
Hops and Pie is the best place in the world. Yeah, I'm just going to come out and say that.
They anchor the community here.
So. Absolutely. And then Joe, your store, Small Batch, I mean, the name says it all. You all focus on small batch releases of beers, a lot of specialty releases, rare releases. You know, you all have a whole host of liquor, wine, you know, little of everything. But from a beer standpoint, the best beer selection in the city. I come here whenever I'm looking for fun stuff, both from a six-pack standpoint, four-pack standpoint, but also large format. You know, I was able to find Abraxas here recently. You know, come here always for American Solera, Bootstrap Brewing. I know you all were the first to carry Insane Rush So yeah, thanks so much for serving this community and fueling our thirst.
No, you're welcome, man.
I mean, how many days were we building out Call to Arms and doing lunch at Optify and then getting a six pack on the way back to the construction?
That was fun. I'm glad you're open, Jess. But
went to Optify a lot. Yeah. I came here a lot.
Absolutely,
it's good to have beer on tap. I don't know how I paid for it all. I really don't.
And for those who aren't, and for those who aren't familiar, as Jesse alluded, Call to Arms, his establishment is right down the street as well. So yeah. Small batches wedged right in between. If you're making a trip to Denver, or if you live in Denver and haven't checked out this area yet, this street is incredible. It's treat street.
It's a treat street.
It's a good name for it.
That trademark, Tristan.
Tennyson Treat Street. All right.
TVVA is gonna be
It's the TMT. Trademark Tristan.
Trademark Tristan. All right, Phil. I want to get back to you here. We just had the grand release of Palisade Reunion. Tell us a little bit about this beer. We showcased it on the website a few days, Friday before the release. I was up there for a little bit and caught a few bottles and tried a few other beers as well. Tremendous story behind this beer. You're kind of inspired by this CSA program that produced that brought you some really great peaches. Tell us about the peaches that were used in this.
Yeah, for sure. I think I started making beers with peaches in them from the Western Slope 3 years ago, pretty much the first year that we were open at Powder Keg. The reason for that actually is that my grandmother grew up on a peach farm in Palisade, and the very first year that we got peaches was from actually that farm. My great-grandfather was like the founder of the Palisade Peach Board. He also served as the superintendent of the Palisade School District and was a principal at the high school. So Hannah family there, there's a lot of grandmother's families, there's a lot of history in Palisade. So it's kind of an ode to some family roots that I have here in the state. And then, I get a fruit share every year in my sort of CSA or my community support agriculture. And this year, you know, I kind of always use it as a baseline for where peaches are and their ripeness and what's going on throughout the summer. I generally like later harvest freestone varietals. So, you know, depending on the year and, you know, how the temperature and weather is, generally it's peaches and, you know, they're ripe and ready late August to second week of September, generally when I like them. They're not so big and juicy that they're just sugar bombs, but they're also, you know, still have some tartness, have kind of the whole peach experience. So,
and you all built out a special, or borrowed a special wine fermenter for this, correct?
Yeah, I rented a wine fermenter actually for the year from California, and it's pretty slick. It's like it's just basically like an IBC tote that's stainless, but it's got a man-way door on the bottom so I can pull all the fruit out of it. It's got a rotating racking arm so I can pull beer off above the lees and everything else. It's basically like a conical fermenter would be, except it's just a flat bottom, so all the fruit, you know, sort of settles out and I can rack beer off the top of it pretty easy.
Nice.
Cool. How'd you think about doing that?
I put peaches directly in a fermenter last year, and trying to get peaches and pits out of a 1.5 inch
right,
it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And then I've got a standpipe in them, so it's actually a 4 inch tri-clamp, and then there's a standpipe and then a dump valve. And I probably had, last year we had 700 pounds of peaches still in there, and I couldn't figure out how to get them out,
right,
except for just opening that 4 inch thing, and it was just like mushy peach, just like
gunk.
Peach sauce just all over the floor.
It's one of those moments where you're like, if people knew what I went through to make this fucking beer, you know?
For sure. For sure. I mean, like, I hate to admit this too, but I was like, on the whole other side of the brew house, like way away from all my fermenters, I was like cleaning out behind my tool chest and all this stuff the other day, and I found a peach pit. I was like, I know that as soon as I opened that thing up, it just like went everywhere, and it's been there for more than a year. So
awesome.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, tell us a little bit more about the beer. You used a Solera style kind of blend into this golden sour, correct?
For sure, yeah. So I think the base beer itself, grist-wise, is very inspired by you know, kind of like a lambic like grist, in the sense that it's just light base malt, Pilsner malt, and then a pretty high percentage of wheat, both flaked and raw and malted. Just kind of pretty simple, like 12 to 13 Plato OG, you know, pretty low hopping rate with kind of low alpha, noble hops. And then I have a sort of a, I don't know what you'd even call it at this point, but a mixed culture that originally started out as some strains from White Labs and the Yeast Bay, which I really like a lot out in San Francisco. Nick's doing a really, really cool stuff out there, and they've got some really cool blends and yeast going on. And just have kind of like put those things together. I found that I like it, and I ferment golden sourwort pretty much all year round.
Yeah.
And I use it as the majority of the blending component for lots of my sour beers.
Sure.
And then this particular beer did the same wort. Half of the volume went directly onto the peaches as soon as I got them in. I got them in, I split them in half, left the pits in, threw them in the tank, and I just racked fresh wort straight out of the brew house on top of the peaches. And it started to just show signs of fermentation within about 48 hours. At about 5 days, it was at high Krausen. And so, you know, there's certainly wild, spontaneous yeast, probably bacteria on the skins of those peaches and everything else. And then kind of as soon as it hits that peak fermentation point, I rack in the golden sour beer that I just kind of have sitting around. Yeah. So,
now, I love this beer. It's because, you know, it's really well balanced in terms of the acidity is just kind of at that perfect kiss of tartness. And then layers of it just kind of develop, and you taste the great peach profile to it. What do you get off of this?
I love the aroma too, because it's almost like, for as peachy as obviously it should be, it's also got these blueberry notes to it. It's kind of like soft. I would say, like, a lot of times I associate, you said there's wheat in here, there's no oats in here, is there?
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of like blueberry notes from oats, but it's almost like a fruity pebbles, you know? It's just that assortment of like lime as well, like citrusy notes mm-hmm. too. So
yeah.
And then the taste is even different and more. There's more peach like brightness in the taste as well.
Now, Joe, you're no stranger to Phil and Powder Keg. You've obviously carried a few of their beers here with Lettre Rouge. Then you might have had some of the first. Was it the first Palisade reunion?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about kind of how you've seen Powder Keg grow over the years.
Well, Phil and I have always been friends, and this version of this beer is the epitome of what he's been out to accomplish. It's his most mature beer, I think, and it's just the epitome of what the original version was meant to be. Like, everything, he hit a home run on this beer.
Absolutely.
So, it's kind of cool. I mean, just to see somebody from the very beginning and see where they're at now, and still relatively somehow be unknown.
Started from the bottom.
I don't get that part.
Now he's here.
Dude, yeah. We used to hang out at Avery.
Oh, yeah.
Just come get bottles for...
Yeah, when I was homebrewing, it's kind of funny. Jesse used to give me bottles all the time, 12-ounce bottles to bottle my homebrew. Danimal was giving me yeast pitches all the time. I was probably over there, like, in the alley once a week at least, getting yeast or bottles or whatever.
Well, and then we were at the farmer's market in Boulder, and you and I started chatting. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm opening a brewery in Iowa. I was like, no shit, man. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, this it's pretty cool. This entire circle here comes full circle.
And then we did a piece and assist event with Amalgam last year.
Absolutely.
Which was fucking awesome.
Now, tell us a little bit about Amalgam, because I know that it's kind of this project that you've been working on for some time. Can you explain to our listeners just how Amalgam differentiates from Powder Keg, and also what your all's focus is going to be? And also any indication on when Amalgam is fully launched?
For sure. So Amalgam is a sort of collaborative project between me and Eric Schmidt, who's one of the other owners, Powder Keg. We're both pretty minimal owners. But, you know, I'd like to say that he's kind of the artist in the sort of the community brains behind the project, and I'm just kind of the, you know, maker of the beer. I'm a little less social than he is, for
you know,
sure.
I just kind of make the beer.
Hey, I will say that there's a lot of really good breweries that don't have any kind of a marketing presence.
That's true.
And it's very much, you know, starting a brewery is very much about starting a successful business.
Absolutely.
And he's got a much stronger business mind than I do.
For sure.
And I think that for that reason, we make a really good partnership. The goal of it really was that both of us are really kind of inspired by more complex beers and using cool ingredients and very much like a, you know, just a making something unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
And
pushing the boundaries, kind
for
of.
For sure.
Yeah.
Being very creative and experimental. Mm-hmm. And just kind of letting our wildest dreams exist in the beer that we make.
Sure.
And Powder Keg, we're making awesome beers there. We're really proud of what we're doing. And there's no, you know, it's not like we're moving from one thing to the other. That's still very much going to continue to exist. But I wanted an outlet to say that, you know, I want to see what this yeast does in, you know, 2 years in the barrel. And I want to see what doing, you know, some portion of spontaneous fermentations might look like. And I want to use, you know, more expensive ingredients and not be as sensitive to the cost that they may be. And so this kind of like just desire to frankly take a lot of risks.
Sure.
That are really hard to do within our business plan at Powder Keg.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what the outlet of Amalgam is. So it's as of right now, it's we just got our TTB license, but yeah. Licensed as
congrats.
A thank you, as a big hurdle. Licensed as an alternating proprietorship with Powder Keg. So we're renting a small amount of square footage, and by small I mean 80 square feet. From I have enough room for right now 10 barrels and a punch-in, and they're stacked
wow.
pretty high. And that's about it. And renting that safe space from Powder Keg, that's just kind of to get our feet off the ground. And it's a way that I hope to, you know, the money that we invest in Amalgam, we can help drive some business back to Powder Keg. So
absolutely.
Kind of a symbiotic relationship, as you know, as best as you can define it.
So when can we expect Amalgam to fully be launched, and when would we possibly start seeing some beers? Under that brand.
Yeah, that's a good question. We're working through the state right now, and there's kind of a hiccup in our licensing because Eric and I are also owners of Powder Keg.
Sure.
They view it as potentially a conflict of interest.
Okay.
So we're trying to figure out how to, you know, move our shares in Powder Keg to somebody else.
What does our government know about conflicts of interest, you know? But a fucking guy is trying to open a small brewery. His balls busted.
Right? Yeah, you know, small business.
I know, small business,
we're
right?
Just, yeah.
God.
So we're trying to figure out how that all goes. The biggest benefit, for sure, is that the state is actually, like, unlike the TTB process was, we have a reviewer within a week. I know her by first name. I talk to her 3 times a week.
Sure.
You know, it feels like
Jan.
Her name is Sue, actually.
Yeah, okay, her name's Sue.
And she's not planning on quitting her job anytime soon.
No, hopefully not. it's good to actually feel like...
It's
a problem, Jess. Yeah. I would highly, highly not recommend applying for a TTB license right now.
The Denver Post asked the other day in an interview I was doing, like, what's your biggest difficulty? And it's like, it's honestly the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like keeping the lights on, like all that, like, you know, making sure your employees are happy. But it's so much you have to deal with on a city and state level.
Absolutely.
And also be like, oh, by the way, you owe us this many $1,000s more in taxes.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It's insane.
No.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Not looking forward to that part. You know, as long as we're still just working on paperwork.
Right.
You know? We don't really have any other big expenses or anything else to worry about. That's kind of nice, but I would hope, you know, we'd have some, start to trickle some products kind of late spring, early summer in the next 3 to 4 months.
That's
so
exciting.
Can't
well, if we can get the TTP to quit holding their meetings in Mar-a-Lago, then we can speed things up a little bit. Well, you know, starting up a new brewery or even a branch off of a brewery is definitely a lot of risk, but It's a big financial risk as well. You know, one thing that we want to be able to help with is supplying young breweries with some options out there. OnTap Credit Union specializes in craft individual financial solutions for people who brew great beer. They also help people who drink it and the communities where they all live and do business. So what exactly is OnTap Credit Union? It's a credit union, a financial co-op that provides low-cost options for individuals and the brewing community, including brick-and-mortar loans, equipment loans, credit cards, and financial growth advice. OnTap Credit Union members have access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, state-of-the-art online and mobile banking, direct deposit, home loans and auto loans, IRAs, CDs, and money markets, insurance as well. So for those who are starting a new brewery and are looking for ways to finance it, be sure to check out OnTap Credit Union as a solution. That's ontapcu.org. Once again, that's ontapcu.org. They're member-owned and Colorado proud, so visit ontapcu.org. All right, Phil, now we talked a little bit about kind of the beginning of how all of our kind of friendships started, but I want to go way back and talk about, we first met at Avery's Sour Fest, and Avery Strong Ale Festival is coming up in a few weeks. But also, I think one of the early memories is when we formed the Dream Team. And so I want to bring up this question for you. Basically, when we used to go out, we would say the times that all of our friends came together, some of our favorite people, we called it a Dream Team night, and that meant you were gonna have just a raucous night out. For you, and I'm gonna go around to everyone here in this round table. If you were to form a dream team of breweries to specialize in different styles, I'm talking about barrel-aged beers, wilds, IPAs, you know, you can even go browns. I'm talking about specializing in specific styles, lagers. Who would be on your dream team? And feel free to chime in. Jesse, I'll start with you first.
Okay.
Are we limited to a number here? Is this like a, you know, early 90s Bulls team? You've got a starting five?
Yeah, you got a starting five, and then we can go with the B team as well.
Well, I'm going to go with
For those who aren't familiar, though, before you jump into it, Phil and I used to actually wear jerseys when we'd go out and the Dream Team assembled. Like, I had an old school 90s Jordan jersey.
Dude, that alley started so many things in this community. I mean, if you think about it, just...
Scottie Pippen jersey is still going strong in my closet.
So, Jesse, who do you got? Who do you got on your dream team?
I'm going to say the combined effort of Ashley and Bill from Beer Shots and Loggers.
Yep.
I'm going to say Chad from The Stave and Andy Parker for Barrel Projects.
Okay.
I'm going to say our good friends at Cannonball for Hoppy Beers, followed closely by Comrade. And, gosh, he makes an awesome amber ale.
Could you not let Jesse go first anymore?
Yeah, he's just taking all the...
Yeah, right.
We have to do a snake-style draft next time.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah,
You're such a penis.
Yeah, sorry. Done. My team's full.
And let me just say this. We're not limited to just Colorado breweries.
So all right.
You can dive in with a few others.
And Utica Club from FX Matt Brewing Company.
Okay. Phil, who you got?
I agree with a lot of the things that Jesse said. Actually, I like to support local people for sure. I'd say that, and not even just in a local sense, but I couldn't tell you a brewery that's making better German style lager beers in the country.
Absolutely.
Than Bill and Ashley. Yep. What they're doing is totally spectacular. In those styles, I think that you're an idiot if you don't put their name down. Hoppy beers and you know they're doing some good Belgian beers too. I love what Cannonball's doing.
Stouts also, man.
Yeah, stouts. You name it, they're doing a good job. I'll add locally too, kind of as that you know, well rounded again, sort of like worldly eclectic. I really like Hogshead here in the neighborhood. They're doing some really awesome, super drinkable English style beers. My other two, I'm going to go out. I would say that, sort of wild and sour beers. I, I not only enjoy their beers, but I would say that I take so much inspiration from Jester King. What Jeff and Avery are doing down there. Just creating
Jared's a sense shaking of, his head. He's running out of options here.
Just creating a sense of place is totally spectacular. Their beers are unlike anybody else because they're very representative of where they're brewing their beer, and that I think is kind of the ultimate goal of making those styles. And I'm waiting for another middle finger here from Joe, but I would say that at least for right now, and this certainly will change, and I have very high confidence in the direction that they're going to go. But in clean, barrel-aged beers, I have to say Fremont in Seattle.
God!
I think that their stouts, B-Bomb, everything else that they do are just complete home runs, and I don't think they get enough credit for what they're doing
there. Oh, absolutely. I think Fremont is poised for probably the breakout brewery of the year, in my opinion. I mean, we're drinking this
Lush,
tremendous beer in their Lush IPA. Yeah. I mean, they make a good argument for hoppy beers as well. Their Koishi Fresh Hop series is always tremendously on point, especially since they're so apt to having access to great hops up there in the Pacific Northwest. Joe, do you have any breweries left in your...
I'm going to give my shots out. So for hoppy beers, I'll do one not in Colorado. Since Phil just mentioned Fremont, I have to go with my guys over at Malvin. They're freaking killing it. Citradamus is the most sessionable 9% anything you could ever drink. Absolutely incredible beer. Here in Colorado for hoppy beers, it's got to be Hutch at Cannonball. That Alpha Project is above and beyond anything else you're going to get.
And how many breweries have, I'm going to say, copied that idea, too, you know? It's pretty crazy here in the state. You see so many places doing these hop projects.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, I mean, another one that maybe people forget about hops, a lot of the work that Jake's in doing over at Westbound and Down, that IPA that he put out down there was absolutely incredible. So I mean,
they've got an IPA at Hogshead right now.
The project
IPA is so good.
No, the IPA project that Hogshead is doing right now with the English style and the American style.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, Hogshead definitely for anything on a cask is you're not going to beat it. They're unique to the whole state.
Oh yeah,
You know, between Steven and Jake, I mean, you. A lot of fun with those guys, and you know, they just lay it on the line and they make beers the way they want to drink beers, and that should be what it's about. I mean, instead of being catchy and trying to follow a trend, I mean, those two guys really don't give a crap about trends.
Yep.
You know, they brew what they want to drink, and they do it better than anyone. For lagers, Ashley and Bill, I mean, to drink off that Lager Tank number 4, that color beer was absolutely a dream come true for me. Best in the country.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's just so authentic, you know?
They're authentic. Like they're authentic. Beer. Absolutely. And look at what they're trying to do with crawler sales.
Right.
I mean,
you can buy a Slow Pour Pils for $5.
You can get 64 ounces of that Helles, which I guarantee you're not going to find that quality anywhere else, for $9.
Yeah, it's
insane.
Come
on, man. Like, I own a liquor store. If I lived close enough to walk across the street, like it was a liquor store, are going to get beer from Bill and Ashley, I know where I'm going every time, and it's not the liquor store, and I own one.
The Bach is incredible right now.
No, man, everything they touch. But, I mean, it's all about passion and caring about what you're doing, and they're certainly not following any trends.
Well, speaking of coming out with some new beers, Phil, I know you mentioned Telegraph, which is is it an Imperial Stout?
Yeah, so we do a beer called Coconut Telegraph at Powder Keg, it's a Imperial Stout with coconut and vanilla. You know, we were just talking about admiring breweries that don't really follow trends. Well, turns out adjuncts Imperial Stouts are pretty popular right now. So we did one, and the name is kind of funny. It just sort of came to be because we were actually toasting coconuts really late one night at the brewery. And it was over the summer, and Jimmy Buffett was coming to town like 2 days later at Red Rocks. And Ben, the guy that helps me out at the brewery, really a great kid. He's finishing up his degree at CU, and we hope to hire him.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Once he's graduated, he ended up with tickets to go. And so we were just listening to, like, you know, Jimmy Buffett records on end, on end, on end, all day as we were doing chores at the brewery. And he's got a song called Coconut Telegraph.
No way.
And so it's kind of just funny, like, you know, very representative of what was happening at that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to Jimmy Buffett for the...
Keeping it real.
Yeah, namesake there.
And you guys are going to be releasing that shortly, correct?
At Powerkeg? We served it on draft this past weekend during the Palisade reunion release. We'll have another keg at Avery Strong Ale here next month. And then we're hoping to do some bottles of that as well in the next couple months.
That release was incredible, by the way.
It's a good, it's a good
fantastic
time.
Fantastic beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Well, you know, I think a lot of us just touched on a tremendous number of breweries, which we've got to save up some money for. While many out there are stowing away bottles of bourbon barrel-aged stouts, lambics, other wilds, it's equally important to stow away some money for a rainy day. So saving money and paying off debt are clearly two of the biggest New Year's resolutions for 2017. Do it the smart way. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com. Start saving money and lowering your tax rates today. Go to latitudefinancialgroup.com to schedule a complimentary meeting now. Once again, that's latitudefinancialgroup.com, another one of our fantastic sponsors. Now, kind of throwing it back to the early days of porch drinking, Phil, I believe you were at our first year anniversary, correct? Back when it was held at my former house.
By former house, do you mean the Little Russian Cafe?
Yes, the Little Russian Cafe is what we used to call it.
Nice.
It was owned by, how do you put this? The owner of Red Square, which is a fine establishment here in Denver, Colorado. And I think the previous iteration of his establishment was called Little Russian Cafe. We found a banner in our house. This house was ridiculous. It was like an animal house. It was five dudes. Hopefully he's not listening to this podcast because it was only supposed to be three dudes living in the house. We had five dudes living in the house, one of which was living in a breezeway. He managed to make out with more girls in that breezeway than any of us combined.
Go dude.
But it was a ridiculous situation. Porch drinking was in its fledgling days, and we still wanted to celebrate, so we had a bottle share, which we've done every single year for our anniversary. And I just wanted to touch on, like, just kind of how far we've come as, you know, Phil homebrewing out of his basement in Boulder, and then us throwing this crazy insane party where we decided to open it up to the public. So we kind of put a call out there and said anybody who wanted to join for our bottle share was welcome, and they all showed up at my house. So we had a German lady who showed up an hour early because she thought it would take her longer to get here. I don't know if she came from Germany.
I was just gonna ask. Yeah, she did well.
But and then we also had a guy who showed up with a six pack of Shock Top.
Nice.
Which was great. You know, no, you know, nothing on that guy or anything. But he also proceeded to point out Black Note from Bell's and the Canteon that was there and get really hyped about Dark Lord. So the guy clearly knew his beer, and yet he decided to bring Shock Top.
Well, you know, every once in a while you're about 10 beers in and somebody opens up a Dark Lord and you finish that and you go, you know, Jacques Top sounds pretty good.
I'm going to quote Phil on that. And we're going to bring it back in the 10th anniversary.
Nice.
Interview. For sure. You got to have those palate cleansers.
And we also had a guy who showed up in man heels, so that was really interesting.
Huh. Where did you put the ad out for people to come?
I think we posted it on Porch Drinking.
Okay.
And we were like, nobody really reads this website anyway, so why not? We'll see what friends we make. But
okay.
We did end up having some folks who brought some really fun stuff, and we met some really cool people because of it. But I just wanted to bring that up as a nice little trip down memory lane.
Is there some bacon out in the breezeway?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Morgan. He lives in Michigan now. So, but yeah, the other thing, Joe, tell us a little bit about what's going on here at Small Batch now.
Oh, what's going on at Small Batch?
That's a good question. You guys are bringing back Zima.
Yep. They're going to be bringing back what it would
yeah,
it,
wait,
what
wait, wait, wait. Yeah.
That it was here at one point.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I am
no very, Zima. No Zima will actually be sold. That's
no. It, well, in, there's a rumor they're doing a barrel-aged version. We'll consider that.
It's called the non-hazy barrel-aged Zima.
Yes.
Fresh oak.
Yeah. Isn't Zima very actually fresh. Just like squirt soda with like liquor in it?
It's
that's
awesome.
A trade secret, Phil.
Yeah.
We can't quite disclose what
yeah,
Zima is.
Yeah, awesome. We have a non-disclosure yeah. with Coors. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We're going to have to edit that part out. Yeah, it was a Miller Coors product. And it's funny because we actually mentioned this on our podcast with AC Golden. We actually spoke with Glenn Nippenberg, who was originally on the Zima project in
was
terms of marketing it. Yeah. And so it was really interesting conversation about 3 months ago. And it was just announced like this past week that Zima's coming back like on a public scale. We broke the news. But
we broke the news.
We broke the
news, honest.
But nobody gives us credit for it. But yeah, we talked about how Zima actually is still very popular in Japan. And surprisingly in the States, it went away due to some bad decisions and some bad marketing. And then
fake news,
yes. And then now they're bringing it back, and there's all this hoopla about it. And
yeah,
so,
I'm so excited.
Zima's yeah, back, yeah. baby.
Get like a 30
it's,
rack. On
it's
it.
Trump's America. Zima's back.
It's gonna make all the Super Bowl ad. I'll tell you. That.
Yeah,
but I don't know, man. We'll just keep doing what we do here.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, we really have no plans.
Well, tell us about some of the exciting stuff that you've been trying lately that really gets you pumped about the industry. I know we just had a big announcement today that the Commons and Burial are coming to town.
Yep.
Being distributed by our friends over at True Brewing.
Yeah.
So that's
a score for True, and they're going to do it extremely well. Commons is a really, really nice product. I mean, it's same old, you know. Sump's drinking great, Lush
Sump's
is drinking
awesome.
Great, Citronella's drinking great, you know. There's all kinds of new stuff coming out every day from our brewers right here in Colorado, so
yeah, absolutely.
I think you're gonna see quite a few of Colorado's version of a lazy brewer IPA in a can, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, looking forward to it. Summer, what's coming online from quite a few people is exciting. The barrel-aged genius wizard from Ratio. Yeah. I can't believe how many people...
I thought we were going to get through an entire episode without a Ratio plug.
It's not a Ratio plug. It really is.
it's a good beer plug.
That beer is amazing. And I'm still surprised. I mean, we blew through what we had. We're getting a little bit more. And very luckily for that. And
so you all have Loveless on, too. That's exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's cool things like that. Like I said, you know, some of what our Colorado brewers have on store for us for the summer months is going to be exciting. So we'll see what shakes out, but we'll definitely be carrying it.
Cool.
And just barely seem it.
Oh, jeez. Right.
Come on, Jess, that's important.
Keep it local.
Well, just a reminder before we go, OnTap Credit Union, be sure to check out OnTap Credit Union, who specializes in crafting individual financial solutions for people who brew great beer, people who drink it, and the communities where they all live and do business. So OnTap Credit Union is a credit union, a financial co-op that provides low-cost options for individuals and the brewing community, including brick-and-mortar loans, equipment loans, credit cards, and financial growth advice. Be sure to check them out at ontapcu.org. Also, if we earlier in the episode, we talked about marketing. That's a huge portion of the brewing industry. You know, you have to be able to market your product. Even if you make tremendous beer, getting the word out is really important. Our friends over at Made by Chalk specializes in creating brand experiences for the craft brewing industry. From product packaging to websites, apps, and events, Chalk's services are tailored for independently owned craft breweries, maltsters, and industry-related consumer products. If you're looking for premium branding for your brewery or a new concept for your web design needs, visit madebychalk.com. Well, guys, I really appreciate you guys joining us for this episode of the Porchcast. Phil, once again, tremendous work on Palisade Reunion. Such a tremendous beer. Really, really excited for what's in store for both Powder Keg and Amalgam. And Joe, thanks again for hosting us. Be sure to drop in if you're in Denver and you're looking for a tremendous selection of beer. Small Batch Liquors is where to go. We're actually coming out with a post on some of the best liquor stores in Denver. You guys are clearly on the top of that list. And yeah, we're really excited.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, anything else you want to add?
This has just been swell.
You guys got a Rumpus coming up this week.
We got a Rumpus on Saturday. Mardi Gras Rumpus.
Those who aren't familiar, what's the Rumpus?
Rumpus is a bi-monthly event we do. That can go both ways, so it's not twice a month. It's every other month.
Okay.
And this one's a Mardi Gras one. We've got a parade.
Bring your beads.
The world's tiniest and most amazing Mardi Gras parade ever. And
Jesse will show you his boobs.
No. That's all he ever does, man.
I'm proud of them. And we've got 9 breweries participating. We tried getting Ratio to join us, but you guys are jerks.
I didn't get an invite.
It's pretty much good. I'm sorry. Oh. You know what? It was folks that participated last year. I love you. Your beer's so good. Barrels is joining us, and Avery, and some of those folks.
So it's not just them.
Oh, I know. Wait. I said folks took part last year.
I could hit a driver from the back driveway and hit Avery's side of the building.
Parade starts at 4.
And it starts at Carl Arms.
Yeah, it starts at Carl Arms, goes around the fire department,
all right.
Down around Local 46.
I think he just told us what the news is.
Yeah. Then we drink till 9, and then we drink at Local 46 or Hops and Pie after that. So.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Should be fun.
It will be fun, Jess.
Yeah.
Well, this has been episode 33 of the Porchcast. We really appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to follow us on all the channels, which is iTunes, Stitcher, anything else that you use to listen to this podcast. Be sure to follow us. And then also, if you have any questions, hit us up at PorchDrinkingCO on Twitter. We'll answer some of those questions.
We broke the Zima story.
We broke the Zima story. Put it out there.
It's real news.
You heard it first.
Yep.
Real news, not Russia. We broke Zima.
All right.
And also, Phil and Joe rule.
Yes, they do.
That's cool, too.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch you next time. This has been to the Porchcast.
Check you later.